Did you catch that last song? If you would have listened, and if you did listen to those words, you would understand that this time of year is about the cross. It's more than the beginning, it's the end. Let's give all those kids a round of applause. They're not in here, but praise the Lord. Absolutely wonderful. And all the teachers, they've been pretty much practicing since September. And so all you parents that brought your kids, they've been practicing. So thank those teachers and all the assistants. They do such a great job with all your kids, and just so very thankful. I do want to spend a little bit of time in God's Word, a little series we call the Psalms of Christmas. You know, whether it is Away in the Manger or O Holy Night, these songs, they bring us to the most important of nights. The night that God took on flesh. He was born of a virgin to fulfill the prophecy given by God back in Genesis 3:15. When Adam and Eve had sinned, God said, "I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." From that woman, Mary, would come the Savior. Before we ever started singing Christmas songs, like the kids just sang, there were Christmas psalms reminding Israel of a future Messiah. They would sing these songs with future anticipation. We sing and we read these Christmas psalms with a present reality. Did you know, in total, here's the slide, 25 different psalms that you read, one out of every six psalms relates to the future Messiah. These messianic songs or psalms are quoted in 11 of our New Testament books, especially in the Gospels and the book of Acts and Hebrews. In those psalms, there are over 70 references that are fulfilled about the Messiah, Jesus. Four of those references are found about his birth. 10 about his very name. 32, go back to that slide so they can see him. There you go. 10 are about his ministry. 32 are about his betrayal and his death. 12 are about his resurrection and his death. So in this short little message, I want to talk about the Psalms of Christmas, and we'll start with his birth. Concerning the Messiah's birth, the Bible says, the song reads in Psalm 89 that the Messiah would come from the lineage of David. This is what they would sing. I'm not going to sing it. Have you said, you have said, "I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations." This Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. And this was fulfilled, as we read in Matthew chapter 1 in the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, this lion from the tribe of Judah would save us. concerning the Messiah's birth, Jesus, it says this, that as we would sing in the Psalms, that God would come in the flesh. In Psalm 2:7, it says, I will tell you of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, and today I have begotten you. And this is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my son, with whom I am well pleased. And in Luke chapter 1, the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, for he is the Son of God. Concerning the Messiah's very nature and name, we can read in the Psalms. We just said in regarding Jesus' birth that God would come in the flesh. Jesus' nature and his divinity, his goodness is throughout the Psalms. Concerning the Messiah's nature and name, again, the Messiah is God. Psalm 45 says it this way, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. We know this is a fulfillment of Jesus Christ because Hebrews speaks of this. This very song. He says of this conversation that is happening with the Father and the Son. This is why we know the Trinity is true. The Father and the Son, both God, but separate. They're not the same, other than they are God. But of the Son, he says, the Father speaks to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. A fulfillment of this song that Israel would sing and we sing. This holy conversation between the Father and the Son. Again, this very nature of this Messiah that we would sing of, this Messiah would be both Lord and he would be King. Psalm 110 verse 1 says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. An understanding that this Messiah would be both Lord and King, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 22 when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. He said it this way. Now the Pharisees were gathered together and Jesus asked them the question saying, referring to Psalm 110, what do you think about the Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? This is a fulfillment of the very nature of the Messiah. This is why we sing, he is Lord and King. Is that true for you? Can you sing that song? Not only concerning the Messiah's birth, concerning the Messiah's nature and his name, but concerning the Messiah's very ministry we would sing about or we can read about in the Psalms. Did you know that the Messiah would have children give him praise? This is a fulfillment of what Jesus did. Look at Psalm 8 verse 2. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Look at Matthew chapter 21. This is fulfilled in this scripture. Jesus says, "And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna, the son of David,' the chief priests, the religious rulers, they were indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what these people are saying?' And Jesus said to them, in fulfillment of Psalm 8:2, 'Yes, have you not read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise.'" The idea here is honestly that any child of God, that includes us, if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are his children and we are singing praises. This is the Messiah's ministry, by the way. Not only that, but it says that the Messiah will teach in parables. Why do I bring this up? There are several verses, but the reason I bring this up is because this will be our next series, starting in January, the parables of Jesus. But the Messiah does say concerning his ministry that he will speak in parables. Psalm 78, verse 2. And then fulfilled in Matthew 13, which is where we'll go in January. Just a little sneak preview. Listen to what Jesus says. "And all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken to the prophets. I will open my mouth in parables." Israel would sing of this Messiah. Jesus is this Messiah. And his ministry not only will have children praising him, he'll speak in parables, but it says he'll calm the very storms, physically and spiritually. Psalm 107 says, "They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storms be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed." We read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, that he does this very thing. He said to them at the very end, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And he rose and rebuked the storm, the winds, and the sea. And there was a great calm. Lots of songs about our Messiah. So not only his birth, his nature, his name, his ministry, but finally, and like those kids just sang, it's about the cross. Yes, he had to come. He had to come in the flesh. But he came to die for our sins. The Messiah says, in Psalm 22, verse 16, "For dogs encompass me. A company of evil doers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." We know this is fulfilled in Matthew 21. In John 20. When he was speaking to his disciples and those that didn't believe, he says, "Unless I see the hands and the mark of his nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe." Jesus fulfilled this very ministry or this very truth. But it's not just about his death that we sing. Come Easter, we always sing about his resurrection, but that was a song that they would sing. They knew the Messiah would rise. And so we sing it as well in Psalm 16, this song, "I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not be abandoned or you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let the Holy One see corruption." And then finally, Matthew 28, verse 6, we know that that very song is fulfilled at his resurrection, "For he is not here, for he has risen." Just as he said, just as Israel sang about, when we read the Psalms, we read of the songs that Israel sang in anticipation of their Messiah, but he has come. We sing today because he has risen. The people of God have been singing Christmas songs for 1,000 years. God's word has these very songs for us to read. His birth, his nature, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. So what? Every year we're reminded of this. We need to be reminded of this. These Psalms of Christmas remind us you can trust God for every single one of your days. God has always had a plan. It is fulfilled in his Son, but God has always had a plan from Genesis 3:15. And his plan is for us to be with him forever. On this side of eternity, though, you must learn to trust him. Sing songs of trust. You can trust him. Yes, even for the hard things that you're going through today, he has always had a plan. He wants us to be close to him. Do you want that? Not only can you trust him with your days, but then finally you can trust him for your salvation. Listen, at this time, oftentimes there's people here that I don't know. And you're here to sing songs, or not sing songs. Yes, you did sing a song, but you came to hear some songs. But if you're not familiar with High Point Church, I need you to know something. God has brought you here for the sole purpose of hearing the gospel. That Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose from the dead. That he didn't die because you're kind of a good person. He didn't die because, you know, you can work your way to heaven. He died because we're all sinners. And unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins alone, you will not spend eternity with him. You make his work on the cross a mockery. The Bible actually says in Galatians chapter 2 that if you can get to heaven by your own righteousness, then Jesus died for no reason. He died for a very important reason. Because without his sacrifice, without his shedding of blood for our sins, we will have no eternal life. Don't leave here thinking you're going to heaven because you're a good person. The only one that was good was Jesus, and he died for you. Would you put your trust in him this morning? Would you tell your kid, the kids, maybe your grandkids, maybe it's your niece or your nephew, would you tell them that you put your faith and trust in Jesus today because of what they sang and what the songs of Christmas declare? I hope you sing songs of Christmas. I hope you sing songs of Christmas in August as you read the Psalms of Christmas. Will you pray with me? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility, knowing we bring nothing to the table but our sin. And Jesus, we sing songs about your death, your life, and your resurrection. for you are our hope. We thank you for these children, that they remind us to sing praises to you every single day. And then, Lord, I do pray for those that are here that have come to celebrate kids singing, but may they truly have a day of celebration for their salvation today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and all God's people says, amen. Let's stand and sing a final song.